So last week, we kind of talked about Malachi 1 through 5, and basically how God had loved his people, how he had brought them back, but also for us Christians on how God has loved us. And one of the things is, as it goes throughout Malachi, and they're kind of turning back to their old ways, one of the things we learn is that God answers, "How I have loved you," but it switches tone of basically how they despise his name. And there's a couple different words used. I didn't put them all up there. There's the word dishonor, despise, or honor, but it talks about as a father should receive honor from his son, a master should receive respect from his servant. So God's basically asking, where is mine? As they are his servants, that he is their father in a sense. And one of the things that we should point out is, what does the word dishonor mean? It means disgrace, confusion, reproach, shame. Despise means to hold in contempt, disdain, to be vile, worthless. Profaning means to defile, pollute, desecrate, wound, or pierce. And those are just very short definitions. But one of the things I want to point out is this is what they're doing to God in their very acts of worship, that we're supposed to bring love and praise and honor to God. So they're doing the exact opposite with coming before him. So in the first couple verses, starting in verse 7, it says, "You are presenting a defiled food upon my altar, but you say, 'How have we defiled you?' And that you say, 'The table, Lord, is to be despised.' But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, and that you might not uselessly kindle the fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you." One of the basics of this is that Leviticus 22:19-20 is that part of a sacrifice had to be unblemished. There had to be no defect for it to be accepted. Starting in verse 19, it says, "For you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you." One of the things I put up here is pictures. If you ever helped with livestock or raised any type of animal, you definitely know when an animal has a blemish, a defect, or is lame or sick. It's not usually a pretty thing after a while. Obviously, they didn't sacrifice dogs up there, but it's the only picture I could find with that wasn't too, you could say, appalling. And one of the things is, these are the things that are sacrificing to the Lord. I also have another picture, the lion, the lame, and the sick. There's obviously, they wouldn't sacrifice pigs either, but there's a pig that basically doesn't have any use of its back legs. There's a cow that's sick and lame. I've helped raise rabbits before. For some reason, I convinced my parents to let me do it. But one of the things is the rabbit got some type of infection, and rabbits tend, when they don't like something, they tend to eat it. And this is the idea given here, is that they're taking their worst and then going and sacrificing it to God. They weren't looking for what was actually a sacrifice, but what was easy to give, what was of no value. And at times for us, because we live in a society where we don't really go and, you know, go out and get our meat, we kind of go to the store and it's nicely wrapped. We might not actually imagine what it means to see a blemished animal or a sick animal. So that's why I got the giving the worst, and this is the idea that's given in Scripture. Something that was supposed to bring praise and honor, they were basically disrespecting God. But one of the things I want to point out is to bring it for us, since we don't really have that example in our society, is, would he eat this? And the reason why I say that, in Exodus 29:41, the point of an offering is that it would be a soothing aroma to the Lord. This is Exodus 29, starting in verse 41. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer it with the same grain offering and the same drink offering as in the morning, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. And all throughout Scripture, you'll see a sweet smelling aroma or a soothing aroma, that which meant it was pleasing to God. When I got up this morning, I went outside to throw some stuff in the trash, and I went outside, and someone was cooking bacon, and it's a sweet aroma. It makes your mouth water. It's pleasing to you. Hopefully it brings you good memories when you think of bacon. But the point is, it's something that you find pleasure in. It's something that you find that's not offensive to you. But in our society, if you had we go to the supermarket and you look at the apples, right? The apples are like polished. I'm not sure why they wax the apples. When you kind of really think about it, we wax our fruit. But they wax the apples and they're shiny. Any defects are usually removed before they get to the store. And if there are some, they throw them away. It goes for any fruit, veggies, you name it. If it has a defect, the store people try to remove it. And the people that are selling it, when they have huge defects in them, they just throw them away. They put them in the compost pile and then they send the good stuff to the store. But even when we go to pick out an apple in the store, do we go and pick the one that has like the bruise mark that's on the side of it? You know, it's kind of rotting. You know, you can push your finger and it kind of squirts out stuff. No, you're kind of like, I wouldn't want to put that in my mouth. That wouldn't be pleasing to me. And this is the idea that's given here, is that they're bringing things that were, in a sense, grotesque, that weren't pleasing. If you're throwing a wedding for your son or your daughter, whatever it may be, would it be pleasing to the people if you brought out moldy food? Or they saw you take an animal that was sick and had major things wrong with it, and they knew that that's what you were feeding them? Would that be pleasing? Or would that kind of turn their stomach? When I kind of put it in the terms of our society, it kind of puts it in a better perspective, is, you know, we're very picky about our food. We like perfection when we go to the supermarket. Well, God is our king, and he expected perfection because it resembled him, but also it resembled that we would give our best to him in that scenario, that he deserved it out of respect. And so when we think about that, they weren't offering a sweet-smelling aroma, they were offering a stench. They were offering something that was appalling to the Lord. And as we go through this, one of the things I want to point out is, I understand it's Old Testament, but one of the things that I was discussing is in Malachi chapter 1:11, it says, "For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. In every place, incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." All throughout Malachi, there is prophecies about, from John the Baptist to Jesus himself, but even to Christians or the church. And this is one of those prophecies. And one of the things that God's trying to get across here is, if you're not going to do it right, eventually I'm going to bring in I'm going to have a people that will offer sacrifice to my name, that will offer a pure offering. Turn over to Hosea chapter 2:21-23. Hosea chapter 2:21-23. "It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, to the new wine, and to the oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God." Even in Malachi, this is a prophecy about the coming of the church. And one of the things is that God was going to bring the Gentiles into His covenant, His new covenant, and they were going to be a part of His people. And in truth, one of the major reasons, as we learn, is that God's people eventually just completely reject Him, except for a few. And the same words in Hosea, and kind of in Malachi, are presented in 1 Peter 2, 5, and then jumping down to verse 9, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Then jumping down to verse 10 or 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So we see that God is telling the priests that even though you're not going to do proper sacrifices and burn incense correctly or any of that, I'm going to have a people that eventually will. And it kind of lets us know that there is, as the Bible puts it, it uses as a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And we kind of talked about it today in class, but our actions. Turn over to Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you, and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Jesus was an offering, a sacrifice that was a fragrant aroma to God, the way He lived, the way He died, and we're supposed to imitate that as Christ was. He was the perfect sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord for forgiveness of our sins. But in Revelations 8:4, the prayers of the saints are mentioned as incense. Revelations 8, starting in verse 4, says, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand." And so one of the things when you look at Malachi, it's not exactly a foreshadowing, but it shows the state that God wants His people in. And in that time, Israel was not in the state that God wanted His people in. And it shows you something a little bit different. Actually, I'll get that to my next point. But turn over to Philippians 4, verse 18. Another thing that's mentioned as a sweet smell, sweet-smelling aroma, and an acceptable sacrifice. It says, "I have received everything in full and I have an abundance. I am empty and I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And you notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 that we read earlier, in this one, notice it says an acceptable sacrifice. When you go throughout the New Testament, you'll notice that there is a way to be pleasing to God, and there's a way not to be pleasing to God. Not much has changed in that way. On what's acceptable to Him, that what's a sweet-smelling aroma. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And I think I marked it correctly here. The word spiritual can also be translated as reasonable. I kind of take it as both. And the reason for that is that God is by the mercies of God. It's not unreasonable what God is asking you to do with your spiritual service of worship. So another thing is that God says it's part of our life consistently. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?" So one of the things we learn is the idea of the gospel. It's a fragrance to God, and it goes out to people, and it brings life. It is well-pleasing. So we see in the New Testament, there's quite a different aspect of when they're using this as a sacrifice or an offering in some way, or incense. It's not the same that was back in the Old Testament, but it kind of shows you, it's trying to explain to you what is acceptable before God. There's all these different ways. Our actions, our prayers, supplying the needs of the saints, that it's a reasonable service or worship to Him. And that the gospel is a fragrant aroma. And I think we understand that, and it's great. And I encourage you, if you're doing that, to keep doing it or to take some of those points and apply them even more. But we want to make sure we're acceptable and we're doing it in the correct way. So let's jump back over to Malachi chapter 1. Because it's not just offering the sacrifice. It's not just bringing it before God or doing what it says. But in Malachi chapter 1, 12 through 14, it says, "But you are profaning it in that you say, 'The table of the Lord is defiled.' And as for its fruits, its food is despised, to be despised. You also say, 'My, how tiresome it is,' and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name is feared among the nations." So really quick, what they're doing basically is, so we just took an offering, right? People gave some of their money back to the Lord. And they were even taking it by robbery or basically getting it by means that it wasn't a sacrifice. It'd be like me going to Jeff or Ray, is that, "Oh, by the way, can I borrow your wallet? Take a 20 or 50, they have it in there." And then as the offering plate comes by and goes, "Oh, there's my offering to the Lord. What a hard sacrifice on my part of giving back to God." That's what they're basically were doing. They're basically robbing, thieving, doing things that were at no cost to them. Not only that, they were saying, going to someone and saying, "I promise to lend you, let you have my car, Mercedes-Benz, like the high end." And then the person comes to pick it up, you said they have it free, and they come and pick it up, and if you know an old rabbit or a gremlin, those beaters that just kind of go along the way, and you're like, "Well, here's your Mercedes-Benz. Don't you want it?" And they're basically were switching out the very best for things that were just basically worthless. You couldn't even sell them on the marketplace probably. We have to be careful is that when we come before God, is that we don't have that same heart. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. This is before they went into captivity. And their hearts had become callous. And in the book of Malachi, when Israel, before we call the 450 years of silence, and then comes the Gospels, they had, again, like I pointed out last week, they had started to going back the same reason why they got put into captivity. Well, they're heading back the same way. They're the same sins. And in Jeremiah 4, starting in verse 3, it says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judea and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like a fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." What happens is they had gotten complacent. The wall had been rebuilt. The temple had been rebuilt also. And there's a time of where, okay, well, it's getting stagnant. When you first start something, you're excited. And then the endurance, as you get further along, you kind of start staggering. Or if you're a man and you start like 8 projects at home and you're excited for each one you start, but there's still 8 going on that haven't been finished in years. They have become stagnant in their worship to God. and they were doing half-hearted service to Him. Why don't you turn over to Revelation 3, 15 through 18. It says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eye salve can anoint your eyes so that you may see. Lukewarm service, or being somewhere in the middle, is never acceptable to God. He wants you to pick either hot or cold, because hot or cold can be beneficial to anything for different purposes. But lukewarm doesn't really ever serve a purpose. And I want you to point out is that the way they were serving God, the way they were offering themselves to God, was half-hearted. Notice what it says. If you look back at Malachi, they're described the same as the sacrifices that were given. It says in verse 17, you are wretched, miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, you're shameful, you're naked, they need to have ointment put their eyes. They're like a miserable sacrifice. Their lives weren't pleasing. They thought they were the richest people in the world, and they were the poorest. So we come before God, He who wants something and that's appropriate. When you think about your spiritual state with the Lord, that's one of the things that we have to consider is, how does God view me? Am I kind of that miserable sacrifice, or am I something that's rich and pleasing to Him? And the point is, in Malachi 1:10, he basically says, I just wish you would close the door, cut out the fire on my altar, and just do nothing, versus offering something that's shameful and wrong. And at times we forget that half-hearted service isn't acceptable to God. It doesn't mean that you know everything. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. But if you're going to offer God your life, He expects you to serve Him. And not just partially Him, and then kind of go do your own thing. And what comes to mind with that is, like, you know, you ever, when my wife, me and my wife, I guess she calls it our first date, you know, she didn't want a half-hearted Christian. She we're walking and she goes, "Why are you one of those Christians that just say they're Christians?" I go, "No." She goes, "Well, are you one of those Christians that just go like Sunday and maybe during the week and that's all you do? You know, like there's nothing beyond your relationship with God." I go, "No." And by the way, we really just started talking. And then she goes, "Well, are you one of those like kind of Jesus freaks where you live for God?" And I go, kind of chuckled, "Yes, that's me." And nope, not perfect in any way. But the point is that when we think about that example is, there's half-hearted worship. "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian on Sunday." Or, I was just at a coffee shop, this last Saturday, and I was sitting there. And I should have probably said something. And one of the, barista ladies was talking to another lady. She goes, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little, and that's okay." You know, and then she started joking about that even more. And it kind of brought to remembrance this, but the idea is that you can't be a part of the world and be that lukewarm, and you can't offer that half-hearted sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything. But we have to give it all to Him. In Revelations 2:5, it talks about acceptable worship. I think this is the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was following everything that God said that they should do. You know, Jeff had talked to me and a couple other people, as we had a Bible study Friday, and about the church. And one of the things is that they had lost their first love. They threw out false apostles. They were on right track with doctrine, but they had lost their first love. They were rigid. They had no room for mercy or anything else or growth. And one of the things that they're threatened with is if they didn't change, if they didn't become acceptable to the Lord. In verse 5 it says, "Therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." The lampstand, as we're told a little bit earlier, represents each church. And the lampstand is the light in the, is light in the world. And God's basically saying that's going to be removed and put out. Now we're each individually responsible for ourselves, but you got to understand is also as a church, we've got to say, are we being acceptable to the Lord? Are we being pleasing to Him, or is it the lampstand going to be removed? So let's remember that as the people were released, blessed by God beyond their imagination, brought back out of captivity, yet they still grew tired of God's ways. And let's not get that same mind frame. So as we end today, I didn't keep up with my PowerPoints, did I? As we end today, and kind of recapping is that, remember that just because they offer blind and animals and everything else, and it was more of a physical thing in the sense that they could take the animal and see it, remember that God sees you spiritually and what state you are in. And when you offer those type of sacrifices, those type of moldy food, that squishy apple that squirts out stuff, would you take a bite of it? Do you think God would want that from you, that type of service? Remember that there's all different types of things that God mentions as in service to Him as that are a pleasing, sweet-smelling aroma. As you go throughout the week, kind of go over those things. See what you can improve, that you can bring to God and serve Him as your Master and Father. But also, if you have given half-hearted service and you just need encouragement, or you're struggling, or whatever it may be, if you need the prayers of the saints, we encourage you to do that during our invitation song. But if you are not a child of God, if you kind of want to leave that sinful life behind, and you want to give up that former life, and you want to serve God fully, you want to give it all to Him, you want to be pleasing, we offer that chance as we stand to sing the song that's been selected. Please come forward.